We're holding Tehillim, the seventh chapter. And we're going to translate loosely and then go over the pasuk and explain a little bit better. Shigayon le David. Shigayon could stem from the word meshuga, crazy. Shigayon could stem from the word shigaga, mistake. Shigayon le David, either the insaneness that came upon King David, or the error that King David made, Asher Shal, that he's saying regarding this error or this insanity, Lashem to Hashem, Al Divrei Chush Ben Yemini, regarding the black person, the son of the right-handed one, the son of Benjamin. So our sages say that this is referring to King Saul. The King Saul was called Cush. There are three that were called Cush in Tanakh. There's Evid Melech HaKushi, one of the disciples of the prophet Yirmiyah Jeremiah, who's at the end of the book of Jeremiah. He's the one that saves Jeremiah. And, according to some understandings, that was Baruch Ben Neriah, the disciple of Jeremiah, the Rebbe of Ezra, one of the links in the tradition. Moshe Rabbeinu's wife is called Kushit, and King Saul is called Cush. Over here, King Saul is called Cush Ben Yamini. King Saul from the tribe of Benjamin is called Cush. And our sages say that just as a Cushi, a black person, is Meshune Be'oro, he's different than everyone else in the color of his skin, so too these people were unusual in their righteousness. And the prophet, in the end of Yoel, if I'm not mistaken, says, Haloch ivnei kushiyim atem li b'nei Yisrael. You, the Jewish people, are like the sons of blacks. You're all like black people, the Jewish people. And again, our sages saw in being called black a compliment. So all the Jewish people are also called kushim. But we mentioned the three individuals. So King David over here sings regarding the error that he made, either that he erred in how he treated King Saul. Our sages say that there's an aspect where King David was held to blame for King Saul's death, or that he erred in cutting the corner of King Saul's cloak. King Saul had been chasing his son-in-law, King David. David wasn't yet king. He was chasing him to kill him, and at one point, David and his men were hiding inside a cave, and King Saul went into that cave to relieve himself, and David's men wanted to kill King Saul, and David HaMelech said, no, you can't kill him. And then he snuck up next to Shaul and he cut off the corner of his cloak. And after Shaul left the cave, David went out from when King Saul was on the adjacent hilltop. David called out to him and he said, Avi, Avi, he called him my father, he calls him. And from here we learn that one can call his father-in-law my father, because King David called his father-in-law my father. And he told him, look, I have the corner of your cloak. Look, I could have killed you and I didn't. I mean well, I mean you no harm. We'll learn that at greater length in a few weeks when we get there on Sefer Shmuel. So, our sages say that even though he could have killed King Saul and he didn't, which was great righteousness on David's part, here King Saul is chasing after him, trying to kill him again and again and again. And King Saul has tried to kill him numerous times, even when he was sitting before him playing the harp. At one point he threw the spear at him. Numerous times, and for a long while, King Saul is chasing after him to kill him. And here King David has a chance to kill his father-in-law and finish him off, and he doesn't. But even that small cutting of the cloak was a mistake. Even that he shouldn't have done. So that was a mistake, according to one understanding. That's what King David is singing about here. That's why he's Shigayon le David. That was the error that he's referring to, that even that he shouldn't have done.
Cut the corner to kill him.
Kill him, he didn't.
No, but I'm just saying, yeah, he could have. And obviously, if he would have killed him, maybe since he was still the king, and he would have been really bad.
Yeah. So here, this song, King David is singing about that. Hashem Elokai Bechach Asiti. Hashem, my God, I rely on you. You're the one who I'm looking for cover. Lachsot is the cover. You're the one who I look for cover. Hoshieni mikol rodefai v'atzileni. Save me from all those who chase me. Rescue me. Penitrof ke'aryei nafshi, lest they devour my soul like a lion devours. Porek, take me apart. Ve'en matzil, and no one else could save me. I need you to save me, Hashem. Now, we should pause for a second and ask ourselves, when is this prayer applicable to us? Are we ever chased by enemies? So the answer, unfortunately, is yes. Just today, there was an attempted kidnapping of a Jewish girl. I don't know if you guys heard.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's unclear how she got away alive.
Two girls.
Right.
Yeah. Rabbi Lissman's next door neighbor from Bethel.
Yeah.
And she was apparently he was on the phone with his wife and he was explaining it to me on the spot where she was like a tough girl where she like grabbed and they caught the attempt.
They caught the terrorists.
Caught them.
It was Palestinians?
Yeah.
So, unfortunately today, this is applicable. There are people who try to take us apart. One of the things we have to know is that when King David speaks in singular tense, it seems he's speaking about himself, but he could be speaking about the whole Jewish people. And when we repeat these verses from Tehillim, we should know that it could be referring to the whole Jewish people. That's one thing. And another thing they quote from Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky is that someone once asked him that he was going in for treatment and he didn't want to have to receive any donations of blood from other people.
Sorry, who was this?
Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was asked. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was one of the leaders of the Jewish people in the United States the last 30, 40 years. he was asked if the person asked if he could have in mind when we say benching, we shouldn't be brought to having to have gifts from flesh and blood. So literally it means we shouldn't need gifts from other people who are flesh and blood. The person said, could I have in mind that I'm asking God I shouldn't need anyone else's blood? Don't bring me to gifts of flesh or blood, either one. And they say that Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said that's okay. That our sages, within each prayer, had a lot of hidden meanings, and a person could apply, when he's saying the prayers, whatever meaning it has to him. We know that Shmoneh Esrei was instituted specifically with that in mind. Shmoneh Esrei specifically, we know why do we say the same words every day? Because every day we have different needs, and those words have within them different understandings and different meanings. And the more we understand the Shmoneh Esrei that we say, the more we'll be able to see the different meanings and apply them to our day-to-day. Shmoneh Esrei has built in every request that a person could possibly want. And the words that we say in Shmoneh Esrei, we just have to know to focus and understand it. But by the same token, we're reading here about how King David is saying, don't let my enemies overtake me, those who chase me. This could be applied to the Jewish people as a whole. Unfortunately, today we still are being chased. And a person in his own personal life can apply it as well, in different circumstances, in different ways. So King David says, they want to take me apart, and if you don't save me, God, then they will take me apart, just as a lion takes apart its prey. Adonai Elohai masiti zot im yashav el bechapai. Hashem, my God, if I've done this, if I've ever been done wrong, avel is to do a person harm, to be unfair towards a person. So he's saying, God, if I have done this, that I've harmed people, I've been unfair to them, in gamalti sholmira, if I've paid back those people who did me bad, have I ever paid them back badly? But I've let those who are my enemies, I've let them off free for nothing. King Saul, it's true. I was wrong. But look, he's been trying to kill me. And what did I do? I let him off free. So I cut the corner of his coat. But that's free compared to what I could have done and what he's been trying to do to me. So he's saying, if I've done things that are wrong, if it's not true, if I've paid back those who do bad to me, like they've done bad to me, I've done to them. If I've paid back my enemies and not giving them away free, so then yiradof oyev nafshi, and let the enemy chase my soul, v'yaseg, and let him reach it. V'yomos naretz chayaya, may he trample my life to the ground. Uchvodi le'afar yashken sela, and my honor may he put down to the dust forever, if I've really done this. But I haven't, God. You know I haven't. You know I haven't been bad to people as they've been bad to me. I've let them off free. So therefore, I'm begging you, Hashem, save me from all those that chase me. Kuma Adonai be'apecha. Arise, Hashem, with your anger against my enemies, the different Philistines that are trying to destroy me. Hinasei, let yourself be arised, meaning honored more. Be'avrot tzorerai, when you let out your anger, avrot is like evra, evra is a form of anger, that you'll let out against my enemies, those that try to harm me. Ve'ura elai mishpat tzivita, and arouse for me the justice, the revenge that you commanded. God commanded King David that he'll take apart his enemies with a staff of metal. God promises us, "Va'yavti et oyevecha." I'll treat your enemies as though they're my enemies, God says. So King David is saying, arouse that justice that you promised me to avenge what my enemies have done to me. Va'adat le'umim tesoveveka. And if the nations gather and surround you, God, so to speak, begging you, help us out. So then, ve'aleh la'marom shuva. Then arise, go back up to heavens, don't listen to their prayers. Adonai yadin amim. Hashem, take off this midat adin that you have placed upon us. You're taking us to task, right? So instead of taking us to task, continue sitting in judgment. But sit in judgment over the rest of the nations. Shofteini Adonai, kitzidki uchtumi alai. Judge me, God, as with the justice that I've done. Look at the good things I've done and judge me so. Don't look at the averus that I've done. And this is something which we always ask Hashem. We know that when we daven with a minyan, when we daven with a congregation of other people, so then Hashem says, you have 10 Jews davening together, I'll add up their merits and I won't add up their sins. I'll say, look, this guy helps the poor. This guy, he has respect. This guy honors his parents. This guy is kind to people. This guy wakes up every morning to learn and daven. Each one has a different merit. Each one has a different strength. So God says, when they're a congregation, I'll put together all those strengths and I'll say, look at what wonderful strengths they have. I should answer what they want. So you could say, well, what about, you could say, this guy isn't nice to his friend. This guy never gives charity. This guy is disrespectful to his parents. You could put together the 10 and take all their faults and put it together, and God could say, boy, what a horrible congregation. I shouldn't accept a single prayer from them. God says, no. With the Jews, I won't do that. I'll put them together for their merits and not for their lackings. So King David is saying, God, look at my merits and judge me. Look at the positive and judge me so. Yigmona ra reshaim. May the wickedness of the Rasharim be finished with. Utchonen tzaddik, and you should give foundation basis for the tzaddik. Uvochen libot uchlayot elokim tzaddik. And you, Hashem, are fitting to decide who's the tzaddik, because you, Hashem, are a righteous one, and you check out our hearts. Hashem is bochen libot. And that's why we have many mitzvot which say, Ve'areta melokecha, be God-fearing people. And an older person walks into the room. You could notice him, you could not notice him. No one knows if you noticed him or you didn't. No one knows if you see that pregnant woman trying to get up onto the bus with a carriage and you offer to help her or not. Maybe you didn't see her, maybe you did. God knows. So that's why a mitzvot that only God knows, God says, Ve'areta melokecha. Same thing is true, the mitzvah of not giving a person bad advice. If no one knows if you meant to give him good advice or not. Maybe you meant to give him good advice. God knows if you meant to give him good advice. So David HaMelech is saying, God, you're the one that could judge who's righteous and who's not and give foundation to the righteous, because you're the righteous God. You are bochen libot. You test the hearts. You know what's going on in people's hearts. That's what when Shmuel was coming to anoint the next king, so initially he thought that one of Yishai's children is going to be king. And then another one, and God told him, don't look at the outside. Adam yireh la'inayim, man could only judge other men by looking into their eyes. V'Hashem yireh la'levav, but God could see into the heart. Magini, my shield, al Elohim, I rely on Hashem. Moshiach Yishredev, Hashem is the one that He rescues those that are straight in their heart. Elohim, Shofet Tzadik, God is a righteous judge, He judges righteously. Ve'el Zo'em Bechol Yom, and God gets angry every day when He sees the injustices that are happening. And this is important because when we see injustices happening in the world, we don't see God reacting. And that's one of the things we mentioned in the beginning of the week. Yiftach is coming to slaughter his daughter. What'd the poor girl do? Nothing. And God doesn't intervene. She dies, according to one understanding. Avimelech, he slaughters 70 siblings. God doesn't intervene. The Navi tells us, 70 innocent kids got killed by their brother. Took one rock and killed them all. Put them all on one rock and cut their neck. One after another, he cut their neck over that rock. So 70 kids are slaughtered. Learned this in Shoftim. And God doesn't intervene. And we see it time and again. Eventually God pays debt. But in this world, what we see that injustice can thrive. So David HaMelech is saying God gets angry every day at the injustices that are happening. God has fashioned the world in a way that He says, I don't intervene. Maybe later I'll pay them back. But on the surface you won't see it. If we saw God's intervention every day, then it wouldn't take any great faith to be a good person. You know, if you're not, you get punished. And there's no challenge in living in this world. Our sages say that God's anger, kamaza mo rega, God's anger is an instant. That's what the pasuk says, we say every day, ki rega be'apo. There's an instant that God is angry. Chayim b'rtzono, the rest of your life, you see God as though He's happy, He's not angry. And when is that instant? So our sages say that if you look at a rooster in the morning, you look at its crop, it's called the crown, the
comb.
The rooster's comb, right. So there are veins that turn white. There's a time in the morning that they're white. But they have red strands going through them. There's one instant when there are no red strands going through them. And that's the instant when God gets angry. And if you curse someone in that split second, then your curse will come true. You could curse a person and wipe them away. So the Gemara says, no one could catch that second other than Bilam. That was Bilam's strength. Bilam knew how to catch that second when God's angry every day. And by cursing him that second, he could wipe him out. So every day, when Bilam was hired to curse the Jewish people, he'd wait for that second. And on that second, God said, I'm not getting angry today. So that's what the pasuk says. Ami zechor na mayaatz. Remember what Bilam thought to do to the Jewish people? And you owe me one, God says. I didn't get angry all that time that Bilam was waiting to curse you. I didn't get angry every day. Even though every day God does. That's what David HaMelech is saying here. Ve'el zoem mechol yom, the powerful one, Hashem, gets angry every day. On those days, God didn't get angry. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Im lo yashuv, if the Rasha doesn't repent, Charbo yiltosh, God will sharpen His knife, so to speak, to go against the Rasha. Kashto darach vayichoninah, God pulls the bow, He's ready to shoot the Rasha. Again, David is telling us, you see the evil person successful, you should know God's preparing the ammunition to take care of him. You might not see him. Velo, and for the Rasha, hechin, Hashem prepared klei mavet, the utensils of death. Chitzav, God's arrows, lidolekim yifal, He puts them to work against those people who give chase, the Rishon, who chase after the tzaddikim. So God, King David says, God has His arrows ready for them. Hine, behold, the Rasha yechabel aven. Yechabel is a term for gets pregnant. He conceives doing bad things. Hine yechabel aven. they're preparing, they're conceiving evil things. Vehara amal, and again, hara is a term for pregnancy. He conceives doing injustice. Veyalad shaker, and he gives birth to lies. So King David over here is playing a double term here. On the one hand, you understand that the Rasha prepares, he conceives and thinks how to trick people, and finally he does it. But you could also read it that the birth, when he finally gets to do what he does, shaker, it's all a lie. He'll end up with nothing. Sometimes we think a person, he's tricking everyone, he's making this, he's making that, he's ending up with this, ending up with that. At the end of the day, you see what he really ends up with. There are people who you see their whole life tricking people and getting away with it. And at the end, there's a price to pay at the end. There's a famous story of the Chafetz Chaim, that there was a person in the town who would do everything he could do to harm the Jews. And he kept getting more and more wealthy. And then at some point in World War I, one of the bombers flew over his house, or they threw a grenade. World War I, I don't know if they had planes yet. Yeah. So a bomb landed on his house. All his wealth went up in one day. And Chafetz Chaim told the people around him, he said, I saw this guy year after year harming us and being successful, and I was always waiting to see, when is God going to make it all end? I knew at some point we'd see his end. So now, I'm happy we saw his end. So we don't know, you see a person successful, you don't know how successful a person really is. We had in the town I grew up, a person who built a house that was magnificent. And he built it on the main street where everyone saw it. And everyone was looking, wow, what a house. And I unfortunately knew this, what was going on inside the house. The house was beautiful on the outside, but on the inside, there were real problems. There were a few houses that way. And unfortunately, it was all on the outside. The inside wasn't so beautiful. It's a pity. But King David is telling us that in the end, what a person bears, that's also shaker. It's not just that he conceives, he prepares the lies that he's going to feed everyone else. What he gains from it is also a lie. Bo kara vayach pereyu. He digs, he prepares a pit. Vayipol b'shachatifal. And he himself ultimately falls in the destructions that he prepares. Yeshuv amalo v'rosho, all the work that he toils to harm other people goes back to him. Ve'al kod kodo, and upon his head, chamaso yered, his thievery comes back to haunt him. Ode Adonai ketzidko, I thank Hashem when I see that God brings righteousness to the world and he judges the Rishon. Va'azamera, and I sing Shem Hashem Elyon, for Hashem who is above it all and who will ultimately bring justice to the world. You see King David's untiring faith in that justice will be brought to the world. He's acknowledging that he has not yet seen it, but he's stressing his faith that it will come, which is a very important point. People sometimes get caught up in the fact that they don't see it in this world. Eov, what's the book of Job? Saying, how could this be? God, did you get confused between Ohev and Oyev? Maybe up there in heaven things aren't so clear. I love God, I don't hate God, but Ohev and Oyev are very similar, so maybe there's confusion up there. The channels got mixed up. That's one of the things Eov said, according to the Gemara. So, David HaMelech is saying it's true. We see them preparing and conceiving and plotting, and it seems like they're successful. And then they're not. It's a good question. When we learn Eov Mishnah, we'll discuss it.
When are we